It was my suspender genius. The people in this church. You know you're a redneck whenever you got to be careful whenever you're hooking to turn the microphone on so you don't pull the trigger on the pistol in your pocket, right? If you would open up your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Lied to you, Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. This message came out like a sword drill, but I put all the references in my notes here to speed things up a little bit so that I wouldn't be wasting time turning. So if you want my notes or if you want me to give you what they were later on, I can. Luke 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and thank you, Lord, for these people. And Father, I just ask that you'd use me as an instrument in your hand, that you'd use me to help these people, Father, in some way to encourage them, to uplift them, Father, to edify them. Father, we just want to ask that you'd go with us the remainder of this service. Be with us in a special way. Forgive our sins, Father. We ask these things in Christ's name for his sake. And amen. The title I have here is The Value of a Christian. And I mulled that title over. We've heard before, you know, what's a man worth? And I have no idea why the Lord gave me that title. I have no idea why he gave me those thoughts. The only thing I know is he did, so we're going to shake it up and see what falls out of it. You know, you think about the worth of a man, the worth of a human being. What got me started thinking about this was the Muslims. You know, they don't hold life dear at all. They don't hold others' lives dear. They don't hold their own lives dear. They are quite ready, willing, and able to die. And whenever they die, they do not go to paradise. They go to hell. They are quite willing and ready to die for their beliefs. They just simply place no value upon life whatsoever. What are we worth? The Bible talks about us being reprobate. The Bible talks about us being holy without conviction, without righteousness, without goodness, without godliness. And yet at the same time, you see Christ say that to the disciples. You're worth more than many sparrows. And that, you know, well, a bird wasn't sold for very much in the temple. That was one of the cheapest things you could get to make an offering. But in God's eyes, beloved, if you're here today and you're saved, you are priceless. You are a treasure beyond treasure. There was more paid for God's elect than has been paid for any other thing ever, period. All put together. All of creation is not worth what was paid for us. It's mind-boggling to think about that. Because I'm going to get the dollar amount wrong somewhere, but I had it added up at one point. I actually saw it that a human being, if you took all the elements that were in a human being, you know, carbon and oxygen and so on and so forth, that we were worth like $11.60 or something stupid like that. You know, I can't recall where I read that, but beloved, God's children to him are priceless. The unsaved can't understand the plan of salvation because we are priceless. See, God is God, and God could have saved us any way that he chose to. He was under no obligation to save us. He's under no obligation to save anybody, right? He could have worked out any way he so chose to save anybody he so chose, yet we have the plan of salvation as we have, that Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was crucified, hung upon a tree, died to pay for our sins and our transgressions. What greater expression of love is there than to die for someone? The unsaved can't grasp that part of it. It's not just the crucifixion, the death of Christ, is not just cleansing from sin. It is an expression of love. Boy, it got quiet in here quick. That was either a great thought or someone's getting ready to church me one. That was the ultimate expression of love. What does the Bible say? Peradventure one would die for a righteous man, but we're not righteous. You know, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And yet, in spite of that, God loved me from the foundation of the world. God said, I'm going to love Mike Rogers, and I'm going to save Mike Rogers. Not because Mike Rogers was worth saving. There's nothing in me any better, any different than anybody else in this building. And if you're here today and you're saved, there's nothing that separates you and I from the gravest and vilest of sinners except the grace of Almighty God. And that's it. The unsaved simply can't grasp that expression of love. It doesn't make sense to them. Now, and I'm kind of stepping on Brother Don's message this morning. Whenever I talked to him a little bit, they overlapped some, but, you know, it seems to be maybe God has chose to emphasize these things today. You know, shown this love, a true child of God will reciprocate this love. They'll return this love. They'll show this love abroad. They'll show this love both to God and to other people. You know, as well as I do, that if you talk to someone and they're nothing but growling and snarling and complaining, you really wonder about their salvation, don't you? If someone doesn't do anything in their life but breathe out vile threatenings and threats of revenge and so on, is that godly? No. A true child of God shows the love of God out. You know, Luke 11:33 says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come may see the light." There is something different about God's people. I've relayed this story before. I drove a truck. Among other things in my life, I've driven trucks. I like trucks. Trucks are the other women. That's the only thing I would cheat on my wife for is another truck. I'm sorry, honey, but if a big old fancy international comes through, a corn binder, I'm sorry. I have to pick at her a little bit. She doesn't feel good today. Mike should have died a lot of times. Mike's wife takes very good care of him. He just doesn't know why. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place. In driving a truck, every once in a while, in the midst of all the ungodliness, you would stumble upon someone that was saved, and oh, the fellowship that you'd have, just click it up a couple channels, cruise down the highway, and talk about God. Well, Mike, that's kind of a boring subject. No, that's not a boring subject. I enjoy very much talking about God, and whenever you find someone else that likes to talk about God too, well, then you've got someone that you can listen to, someone you can talk to, someone you have something in common with. Those fellows that I met whenever I was on the road, I wouldn't know what they looked like if they came up and hit me. But I can tell you this much, I'll meet them in glory. We are different. To be saved, we are different. We're in this world, we're not of this world. We don't... I'd like to say we don't act like the world, but that's not entirely true. I mean, we have certain things in common. Obviously, we're not like those. We're not mystics or something. We all wear basically the same clothes and eat basically the same food and so on and so forth. But there is something different about a brother or a sister in Christ. There is something that shines out. There is a difference in them. There is that essence in them, Christ in them. You know whenever you're dealing with someone of God. And I've said this before, and I'm not saying it to shame anybody, but the proof is in the pudding. Okay? I don't just look for someone to say that they know Christ. I look for someone to prove to me that they know Christ. Well, how do they prove that, Mike? Do they quote Scripture? No, I've known lost people that can quote the Bible upside down, inside out, and sideways. I know one fellow that could quote the Bible that drove me nuts one time, looked at me and said, "Mike, how many women are in the Bible?" Me, because I'm that kind of guy, I said, "All of them." And I let it go at that. And he just rode me for days because I didn't know how many women were mentioned by name in the Bible. Let me ask you a question. What does that have to do with the plan of salvation? What does that have to do with God's redemptive work? What does that have to do with the spreading of the gospel? Does that spread the gospel in any way, shape, or form? No. What are we to do? What will we do if we're saved? We will witness. We are a witness. Even if we don't speak to other people, we are a witness in the way that we act, the way that we behave, the way that we carry ourselves in this world. We may be the Bible that someone reads. We may be the only Bible that someone ever sees. We are walking, living, breathing testimonies. And you can ruin your testimony. That's beyond the scope of what I'm going to talk about today. But this way, we let our light shine in a dark world. We are different. This world morally is dark. It's illuminated by Christ and Christ alone. And what are we? If Christ is the light, what are we? We're little lights. As Christ is the sun, so we be a candle. But even a candle gives a little bit of illumination in a dark room, doesn't it? John 3:17, not 3:16, 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. As we lead, beloved, godly lives and spread the good news, the gospel of Christ, gospel roughly translated as good news, we are those little lights. However, do not expect to be loved by the world, because the world does not love Christ. It shunned Christ, it will shun you. You will meet far more rejection. You will meet far more hatred. You will meet far more ridicule than you will ever find belief. In China right now, I don't know, I try and keep up on things. I've got to the point I don't hardly watch the news anymore. But in China right now, the Chinese government is cracking down on Chinese churches. There was a very, I wouldn't call it eloquent, but a very touching letter that one of the pastors that is now a prisoner wrote to his church shortly before he was arrested. And he told them as much as possible to continue meeting in the church until all the elders had been arrested. And whenever everybody had been arrested, there was no one to lead the church then to consider meeting in small groups. They are under that kind of persecution. They are hated that much. Here, today, things that I speak here could be construed as hate speech. When I speak out against the gay lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle, that could be construed as hate speech. When I speak out against the evil that is Islam, that could be construed as hate speech. I could be charged for that. Don't think that I can't be. And beloved, I am waiting for the day. It will happen, mark my words. They will come to someone of our faith and they will insist, and there will be a lawsuit that if you marry a man and a woman, they will require you to marry a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. I'm waiting for it. And if it's me, I'm going to tell them no. And they can do what they will. As we spread the good news of Christ, as I said, we're little lights. We're despised by the unsaved because we show God's law and we show their love for perversion and sin. Whenever someone takes off, I've been blessed. I don't know how. No, I know how. I don't know why. I've been blessed in my life. I've had to do business with some outright scoundrels, and you know I've never been cheated. I guess they just think I'm so pitiful they ain't no use doing it. I've done business with some very shady characters at times, and I have always been guarded, watched over by my Lord. And for that little bit of time that I've been in their lives, I've been an example, or tried to be an example, of what a Christian should be. for that little bit of time I've been in their lives, even if I couldn't witness to them, and I've tried to talk to a few people before that were more scoundrel than others, for lack of a better way of putting it, more sinful than others, if I could use that liberty. You know, yourself, that... how do you put it? The more you're forgiven of, the more you have to be grateful for. I am convinced, as I stand here today, that there are men and women that are on death row or are serving life sentences in prisons that have done horrible, horrible, horrible things. And I'm not saying all of them. Mark my words, I'm not saying all of them. But you can't tell me, if there's been a Bible placed and the gospel's been spread there, that there aren't at least a few of them that have ought to be grateful to God for eternity for. Think about Paul. We idolize Paul. We have a tendency to idolize Paul. We think of Paul as a great man, and Paul was a great man. Paul was also a murderer. Look what God wrought in Paul's life. We should strive ourselves. We should strive to be that instrument like Paul was. We should strive. We should strive to be worthy instruments in the hand of God. I've made this point before. I've made it a lot of times. I would love to have the power to save people. Because there are a lot of people I love. I just walk up, flick them on the nose or whatever it took, pull their ear and say, "Hey, you're saved." I'd love to. I have family that are lost and I mourn for them and I want them to be saved and they're not, and I can't get anything to go through to them. The Lord is not in it and they will not listen. But we ought to strive, to desire, to want to be an instrument in the hands of God, a great instrument in the hands of God. Someone that if there were another book, and there's not going to be, but were there another book written, your name would be in it. Like Paul or one of the Old Testament prophets, someone that was that great an instrument in the hand of God. But John 15 says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Just because we are valuable to our Heavenly Father does not make us valuable to this world. We are of no consequence to this world." I'm going to say this, and feel free to disagree with me. It doesn't bother me. But there were, a few years ago, and I can't think of the feller's name now at all, but he had a whole series of little books and movies about it. They were called Left Behind. And it was about the rapture happened, and you know, it was just describing the affairs of those that were left behind. And you know, it was picturing whole airplanes empty and buildings empty and so on. There aren't that many of us. Christ said all of Israel is not Israel, right? Everybody that says they're Christian is not Christian. Christian encompasses a lot of ground, okay? Take the Roman Catholic Church in and of itself. I've said it before. I echo Brother Don. He said it before I did, that you can't be a good Catholic and be saved. How many million Catholics are there? How about the Jehovah's Witnesses that deny the divinity of Christ? And on and on. Those that teach that we have to have good works, that we have to do things to earn our place in heaven, in paradise. What about all those? What about all those that are trusting to their works? The world at large does not like us, and we are outnumbered. Whenever the rapture happens, beloved, I'm going to say I would consider it astounding if 1 in 1,000 people disappeared. There just aren't that many of us. Wide is the gate and the road that leads to destruction. And I'm paraphrasing, but narrow is the way to salvation, and few that find it. Again, Matthew 5:14 says, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." We can't hide what we are in this world, beloved. We have to be different in this world. There are clear constructs in God's law that we cannot compromise with. When someone says that I have to be inclusive when it comes to religion. No, my religion is exclusive. If you're not saved, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to heaven. You're not saved. There aren't many paths to God. Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And that's the end of the matter. There's no one else that can say that. Whenever the world says that I have to look and accept other people's beliefs, no, I don't have to accept their beliefs. They're wrong. There's no compromise with anybody. If you're not of us, you're not of us. You're wrong. There aren't many paths to God. There are things that you can't give on. God never allowed for a woman in the pulpit. It was not allowed, and it doesn't matter. I saw a little post the other day from a friend of mine that had the best women's pastor ever. I wanted so bad to light a fire. I wanted to so bad. I just didn't have the time to continue it out. It was late at night and I was tired, and Doc's been playing with my medicine, and I got all kinds of excuses, but I didn't light that far. Oh, but I wanted to. They usually get mad whenever you ask them how they're the husband of one wife. I can't compromise with that. I'm sorry. Abortion is not a woman's right. There's no compromise with that. I'm sorry. There's no, it's murder until a certain point. No, it's murder. And that's just the end of it. There can be no compromise. There is no middle ground. Either I'm right or I'm wrong. And that's the end of it. And the Bible says that I'm right. God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." We can't compromise with the gay lifestyle. Less than 1% of the population is trying to cram that trash and filth down our throats. No. It cannot be, it will not be, it will not happen on my watch. As much as I have control over what I do, it will not happen under anything that I have control over. Folks, as the days grow darker, we shine brighter, and we're hated the more for it. This world just keeps sliding downhill. I used to whenever people would say, "Well, whenever I was young, the world wasn't this big a mess," and I used to think, "What in the world are they talking about?" Why, middle age is attacked, and old age is lurking in the weeds, and I have figured out what people were talking about, because I can remember whenever it was not this vile. I can remember when it was not this evil. I can remember when it wasn't this dark. And beloved, this world is dark. It is pitch black outside if you consider the morals and the attitude of most people. I'm not talking about physical darkness. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. You know, and we'll not be here. I want to touch on this. We'll not be here after the rapture, but there'll be people saved during the tribulation, and they'll be slaughtered with no regard. And that is the height of what the world sees us. That is worthy of death and nothing else. If the world could do... Wake up, Don. If the world could do away with us, they would. We prick their conscience. We're an unpleasant reminder that they have to answer to someone. We're an unpleasant reminder that there is a God. We're an unpleasant reminder that there are rebels and traitors and nothing more. We are an unpleasant reminder to this world that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to throw this in. I'm not going to charge you. This is free. Okay? I'm tired of seeing my God talk trashed about. I'm tired of seeing my God mocked. I'm tired of seeing my God made fun of. I'm talking, they had a little thing on the other day, one of the first Muslims that they elected to Congress. She was making fun of the vice president for praying. set a picture of him praying. She put Jesus take the wheel or something smart like that on there. I'm tired of my God. I understand that my God is long-suffering, but I long for the day when my God comes and makes things right. I want to see the day when my God rules with a rod of iron. I want to see the day whenever Satan is crushed. I want to see the day that sin is put down. I long for that day. Revelation 24, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Then Revelation 22, 12 and 13, one of my favorite verses. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Beloved, it's a dark time right now, and it's only going to get darker. I'd love to tell you that now when I say that, there's always a chance that God will give us a revival in this land. I think it's wise to pray for revival. I think it's kind to pray for revival. Yes, I said the word kind. I think it is kind to pray for revival. I think that it is a good thing to pray for revival. However, as was mentioned this morning, without a revival in this land, we're sitting on a steep slope and we're riding down it. We're hell-bound and we don't care. As a nation, the things that we do, the things that we endorse. But beloved, when I was little, before I was saved, I didn't quite grasp that there were 66 separate books in the Bible and that they all had something to say. I kind of thought the Bible was like any other book where you read and it's the beginning, and then when you get to the end of the book, it's the end, right? Well, that led me to Revelation. And you know what I found out in Revelation? We win. All the work that you do now that seems in vain is not in vain. God knows. All the times that you suffer rejection now whenever you stand up for what's right, God knows. All the times you're mocked for your beliefs, God knows. All the times you take a stand and you're overruled by the majority because the majority is evil, God knows. He's kept an account. Whenever you get to feeling too bad, think about Jeremiah. You know, they called him the weeping prophet. Nobody listened to Jeremiah, did they? Nobody. But God kept account of what Jeremiah did, and he counted his service as faithful, didn't he? Beloved, God's word trumps man's word, and he has said that we are of great worth. This is the ultimate end. Not because of ourselves, but in spite of ourselves. Okay? No matter how much the world disdains you, no matter how much the world looks down on you, no matter how much the world figures that you're basically worth killing and nothing else, no matter how much fun you get made of for what you believe, at the end of the day, in God's eyes, you are precious. You're not just a servant, although whenever you're young, and I can't quote it verbatim, but a servant and a child is no different one to the other. They're both under bondage. But we're adopted what? Not servants, children. Anybody that's here that has children loves them. People here that don't have children love them. Dearly, I would add. Long, when the matter is all said and done, and I'm almost done, long to hear this. You know, in the parable of the talents, God said, "You've been faithful over a few things." The master said, "I'll make you ruler over many," right? All right. That's all well and good. I hope that I haven't done like the servant and hid my talent. But I will say this too. What was the one thing that could never be taken from them? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Out of every other single thing, that carried the most weight. One day, it's my hope that not just me, but that everybody that hears the sound of my voice, I want one day for them to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Strive over what you've been given till you can hear that. Because that is reward that cannot be taken away. That is reward that cannot be blemished. That is reward that cannot be lost. To hear God say, you did good. That is something. And I'm going to close with that. Brother Don? You almost went to sleep on me.